worshipped or unconditionally obeyed except for him, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his final messenger. We ask Allah to send his peace and blessings upon him, the messengers and prophets that came before him, his family and companions that served alongside of him, and those that follow in his blessed example until the day of judgment. And we ask Allah to make us amongst them. Allahumma ameen. Dear brothers and sisters, last week I spoke about this idea of hearing a person's grievance, hearing a person's heart, not simply addressing the tone, not simply addressing the argument, but actually trying to dig deeper and trying to pay attention the way that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. The focus of last week's khutbah was on a personal grievance, on someone who's suffering in silence, on paying closer attention to people as they go through what they go through, and they hope that someone will hear them as they are in their difficult moments. But unfortunately, we often let things get out of hand with those individuals. And I was really speaking about this idea that each and every single one of us has a personal set of experiences, a personal set of difficulties and hardships, and a personal set of goodness and privileges that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to us. And in the way that we complete each other is by recognizing what we have that Allah has given us of good, and using that good to provide for someone else's hardship and to ease the struggles of another person, even though we have our own set of struggles. And so in having our own unique set of good and our own unique set of struggles and hardships, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to be a source of comfort to another person. Because although I have my struggles are not the same as that person's struggles, and I am in a position with the good that Allah gave me to help that person through their unique set of struggles as well. Now, how do we move beyond that and actually talk about what that means in terms of making progress as a community, in terms of the community moving forward and living up to its fullest potential? Because as a community, we're only a set of individuals, and in helping each and every single person find their way and helping each and every single person live to the best version of themselves, the community as a whole benefits from that. But how do we then channel all of that and make sure that we don't just pay attention to the good that we have in the community, to the potential that we have in the community, to the things that are going right in the ummah, and ignore the things that are not going so well in the ummah, and ignore legitimate grievances about the ummah, ignore legitimate grievances about the community that eventually come back to haunt the entirety of it? And it's important to point out here that there are numerous ayat and ahadith, too many for me to go over in this khutbah, that point to the fact that as long as we as a community can stay out of our own way, nothing would stop us. We have to stay out of our own way. Locally, nationally, globally. When we get in our own way, we suffer as an ummah. And the Prophet ﷺ made dua for three things. سَأَلْتُ اللَّهُ ثَلَاثٌ. I asked Allah for three things. I asked Allah that He would protect this community from a ferocious enemy that would feast on this community, that would feast on His ummah and eradicate them. And Allah answered the Prophet ﷺ in protecting the community from that. I asked Allah to protect the community from an outbreak of a disease or famine or plague that would naturally destroy the community, and Allah answered him. But the Prophet ﷺ asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He eliminate from us division, that Allah does not allow the community to hinder, hurt, sabotage itself from within. And Allah did not give the Prophet ﷺ that. Not because it's not a noble ask. Not because it doesn't match with what Allah wants of this community. But because Allah will fix everything on the outside for us. Allah will give us the traction that we need. Allah will give us the support that we need. But at the end of the day, we have to at least take care of our own business as it pertains to that which is in our control. We have to clean up our own house. And Allah will make sure that there is no storm too strong on the outside to destroy it. But we have been tasked with cleaning up our own house. and making sure that we keep it clean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not overburden us by giving us that task. It's a reasonable expectation of the community that we at least clean up our own messes and keep our own house clean while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps the storm at bay. What does this mean in terms of a community being able to move forward? A very profound hadith from Nu'man ibn al-Bashir, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him and his father, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave this example, gave this parable. And he said, the example of the person abiding by Allah's orders and prohibitions, and a person who violates Allah's orders and prohibitions. So he's talking about within the community. You have one set of people. Now all of us have a share of halal and haram in our lives. We ask Allah to protect us from those things coming into our lives. All of us have a share of sin in our lives. But there is a difference between a person who arrogantly persists in sin and in violating the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a person who's making an effort to live in the most God-abiding way that we possibly can in accordance with the revelation of the Qur'an and its manifestation in the sunnah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, imagine these two groups of people setting out on a journey. You have the person who generally tries to live a life in accordance with halal, and you have a person that's indulging in haram for whatever reason. And the Prophet ﷺ said, they start to draw lots to board a ship that's about to set sail. And our ulama were so detailed in what they derived from the hadith that they took from this the evidence of the permissibility of casting lots, or that's one of the evidences of permissibility. They cast lots to decide who's going to end up on what part of the ship. So when they cast lots, some of them get to the top, the upper deck, and some of them get the lower deck. Once they board that ship, some people on the upper deck and some on the lower deck, the Prophet ﷺ says that it starts to set sail. Now, the people on the upper deck are obviously in the premium cabin. They're getting their own set of access to what Allah has provided of them, to all the different amenities that come with being on the top deck. And you have the people on the lower deck, and they're not necessarily in the premium cabin of that ship. And it's really interesting here because the Prophet ﷺ then gives us this image of the people on the lower deck when they have to come up to the upper deck to get water. The people on the upper deck are clearly bothered by their presence. We don't want to see you. We don't want to hear you. Leave us alone. We're trying to enjoy ourselves. Why do they keep coming up and asking for things? Why can't they just stay there, mind their own business? But there's an annoyance that's being created. And the way that the people on the lower deck are getting to is to a point where they don't want to compromise their dignity anymore. They don't want to compromise their dignity. They're tired of being judged in a certain way, looked at in a certain way, right? Deemed an annoyance. And so what did they start to do? The Prophet ﷺ said, they start to drill holes on the lower deck. Now the people on the upper deck never come to the lower deck because they don't need to. They have no interest in khidmah, in serving the people on the lower deck. And this is profound because the Prophet ﷺ described the people on the upper deck as people who are righteous, or people that are trying to live the most halal life and trying to be religious. But there is a blind spot in their religious practice that they don't connect serving the people on the lower deck or going and checking on them to their deen. They're, mashallah, enjoying their salah on the upper deck, their tadabbur and tafakkur, their contemplation, reflection. They think that's the extent of their religion. And I'm extrapolating here, so let me be clear so we don't put these words in the mouth of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but this is the imagery that's being created that can at least be derived from the upper and the lower deck here. They never go down to check on them. So when do they realize that there are holes being drilled in the lower deck to get water? They realize it when the ship starts to sink. And so they come down to see the lower deck and they see this mess that's been created, where the people on the lower deck have taken axes and literally put holes in the ship so that they could draw water from the bottom. And what did they say? مالك, what's wrong? Literally the hadith says, مالك, what's wrong with you? What did you do? Why are you doing this? What caused you to start to drill holes in the bottom? And they say, تآذيتم بي ولا بد لي من الماء. You were annoyed by my presence and I needed to get water. We had to get that water from somewhere. What makes this very powerful is that الماء, water in the ahadith, in the verses of the Quran and in the interpretation of dreams is analogous to guidance, to hidayah, right? So we were coming up to get that guidance, to get that knowledge, right? But you were bothered by our questions. You were bothered by our presence. You were bothered by our appearance. You didn't want us up there, and it was very clear. Even though you never said, stay on the lower deck, we didn't feel warmth from you. But we had to get our water from somewhere. So what did we do? We just figured we might as well put holes in the ship and start to draw the water from underneath. The Prophet ﷺ said, if the people on the upper deck ignore them, then they will all be destroyed. Whereas if they take the water to them and invite them to the upper deck, then they will all be saved. It's a powerful example from the Messenger ﷺ that has so many facets that it could literally take 3 or 4 khutbas in and of itself. But to at least get the bigger picture of what the Prophet ﷺ is telling us here. That the community as a whole has to make progress. And the Prophet ﷺ always burdens the people on top first. It's a consistent methodology. كلكم راعٍ وكلكم مسؤولٌ عن رعيتي. You are all shepherds, and all of you are responsible for your flock. Whatever is in your flock, you're responsible for. That doesn't mean that things might not go wrong with your flock. But that means that you have to uphold your greatest responsibility, live up to the responsibility of being a shepherd of that flock. Things might go wrong. The ship might hit an iceberg. We've seen that happen before. There might be something that's completely out of the control, but at the same time, you assume responsibility by virtue of the position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts you in. Some people on the upper deck by virtue of their knowledge, some by virtue of their access, some by virtue of hadh. It's the fortune that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed for you. The upbringing, everything created, an energy or facilitated you being on the upper deck rather than the lower deck. Everyone is there for a different reason. But at the same time, the Prophet ﷺ tasks those that are on the top to be more responsible with their flock. And if you pay attention to the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he condemns the people on the upper deck for their action. Right? Even though the lower deck, it's assumed that it was a bad move. There is no doubt that drilling holes in the bottom of the ship was bad. It was unhealthy. It ultimately sunk the ship. But the Prophet ﷺ is speaking to those on the upper deck. You've got to do your part to not let that happen. You cannot put your hands up and say, are you trying to say that it's okay for them to put holes in the bottom of the ship? Don't scream about them putting holes in the bottom of the ship to get water unless you've made an attempt to take water to them from the upper deck or invite them to the upper deck to be able to drink from that water. So the Prophet ﷺ is actually giving a very profound example that's consistent with his methodology. It's why weren't you listening to them? On the upper deck, you weren't even hearing out. You didn't even hear that they were thirsty on the lower deck. Why weren't you checking up on them? Why weren't you asking about them? Why were you not welcoming them? Why were you not saying to them, تفضلوا, come on up. Do you have enough water? Do you need more? What can I do for you to make it easier for you? How do I make space for you up here? All of these different things. And subhanAllah, one of the, again, there's so many beautiful facets. One of the sharhs of the hadith, the explanations from Ibn Battal, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, and the connection between the Prophet ﷺ saying, it's like you cast lots and ended up on the upper deck, is that don't think if Allah guided you that you got there by yourself. Don't think that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened your heart to Islam and facilitated knowledge for you and an environment where it was easy for you to thrive in your deen, that that's something that you did. Allah blessed you with that. Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana li hadha wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. All praises be to Allah who guided us to this. We would not have been guided had Allah not guided us to it. So don't think that this is something you earned to get up there. Allah put you there. Now what's your responsibility to those that are not on that upper deck? Another thing that comes up here is very important. There is water that's on the top and there's water that's on the bottom. People inherently will look for something because they need to drink water. If they don't have access to clean water, they'll drink dirty water. Meaning if you don't facilitate the means of hidayah, of guidance and knowledge for people, they will search for those same forms of spiritual hydration, but they will use the wrong type of solution. So there are legitimate grievances. In this case, people are thirsty. And there is a legitimate solution, which is that clean water of hidayah. If you don't make an attempt to make sure that everyone has access to that and everyone is able to drink from that water, don't blame the dirty water. Not just don't blame them for, you know, drilling holes in the ship. Don't blame the illegitimate agendas that come in and exploit legitimate grievances that are unaddressed in our community. There's room for that. There's room for talking about how batil, Allah Azza wa Jal does this. Allah talks about falsehood in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about illegitimate ideology and illegitimate agendas that come into our community and that take over and things of that. Allah talks about it. But the onus is always still placed on those who have access to that which is legitimate to do better in delivering that legitimate solution. So while we talk about why batil is batil, why falsehood is falsehood, we also should never relinquish from ourselves the duty to do better in delivering the truth, in making sure that people have access to the truth. Another element from this hadith is this, that the status quo on the upper deck was fine until the ship started sinking. Meaning it did not bother the people on the upper deck that the people on the lower deck were thirsty in the first place. They didn't even know about it. They didn't even care to know because they still had what they needed for the ship to sail fine and for them to be comfortable with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already made for them. It was comfortable up there. We didn't need to know about what was going on the bottom deck. Who cares? Let them do what they're going to do. Alhamdulillah, we're up on the upper deck. Status quo is fine. They don't have a problem with the situation until the ship starts sinking. Meaning they had absolutely no concern, truly, they really didn't care about the people on the lower deck being thirsty. They only started to care when the ship started to sink and it affected them. Which speaks to a deficiency within us. لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبُّ لِأَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ. No one of you truly believes till he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. You think that only refers to food, drink, and clothes? What do you want most in life? Do you want that for your brother? Do you want that for your sister? I don't want my brother or my sister to feel like that's where they have to go or that's what they have to do in order to get water, to be hydrated. No. I want, you know, I should inherently be thinking, if Allah Azza wa Jal has given me this, then what about that person? Do they have this? And if they don't feel comfortable coming up to the upper deck and getting that cup of water, they might have very wrong ways of going about voicing their issues and doing what they're doing. But I still, as a shepherd, as someone who Allah put in that position of a da'i, of an amir, of a alim, whatever it may be, a talib ilm, an activist, I still have to do my part in trying to facilitate better so that less people drill holes in the ship. I have to think of it in that way as well. And there is an African proverb which is very profound, and it fits, subhanAllah, directly with this hadith, that if the youth are not initiated into the village, they will burn it down just to feel its warmth. If the youth are not initiated into the village, they will set it on fire. They will burn it down just to feel its warmth. Why? Because if the young are not given room to grow and contribute in a society, then they have nothing to lose when it burns down. And if anything, it gives them some sort of satisfaction that a community that wouldn't listen to them when they were being constructive will suffer with them when they're being destructive. There's some satisfaction in that. You know what? Fine. Burn it all down. Because there's nothing that I was getting from it anyway. And I want them to feel that burn just as I've been feeling it this entire time. How do we start to solve this problem and address this problem? You don't at any point sacrifice the direction of the ship. You don't at any point sacrifice the clarity of the water. You just are tasked to do a better job of reaching to those that are on the lower deck and making sure that that water gets to them so that the ship can sail. So there's also an illegitimate way to go about this as well as a community, and that's not what the Prophet ﷺ is suggesting. But there is another hadith, subhanAllah, also narrated by Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي تَوَادِهِمْ وَتَرَاحُمِهِمْ وَتَعَاطُفِهِمْ مَثَلُ الْجَسَدِ الْوَاحِدِ إِذَا اشْتَكَ مِنْهُ عُدْوًا تَدَعَ لَهُ سَائِرُ الْجَسَدِ بِالسَّهَرِ وَالْحُمَّى. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the likeness of the believers in regards to their mutual love, their affection, their fellow feeling, العطف تعاطفهم, means they feel with each other. It's not just a love or a mercy, but they actually feel with each other, is that of one body. If one limb aches, the entire body aches with sleeplessness and fever. We usually quote the hadith when we're talking about our suffering Muslims in Palestine or in Syria or wherever it may be, in China or the Rohingya, but there's something else about this, that subhanAllah, suffering is of many different levels and it's of many different ways. What do we do? What do we do? Or do we feel? This is the opposite of the people on the upper deck not even paying attention to the people on the lower deck until they started to drill holes in the ship. Do we actually feel the pain of those people on the lower deck? Do we actually lose some sleep thinking about those people on the lower deck? فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَى أَثَارِهِمْ. SubhanAllah, the spirit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most righteous human being ever created, wanting to, you know, that it's as if you're killing yourself over their decree. If anyone could tune them out and could say, well, alhamdulillah, I have my qiyamul layl and my closeness to Allah, I don't care about them, I don't need them, and look at these destructive people and look at what they're saying and look at what they're doing, it would have been the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But I can feel the pain of people that do not feel like they've been welcomed into the upper deck, that the community offered legitimate solutions for their legitimate problems, as opposed to only condemning them when they turn to illegitimate solutions to their legitimate problems. We have to look inward first and think about what that means for us as a community. And the Prophet ﷺ said, this does not just affect your personal iman, it affects your potency as a community. It affects your ability to actually move forward as a community, to establish a continuity of La ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah, to actually pass on this beautiful message in the most beautiful of ways and show how it's actually lived. It's an opportunity. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-mu'minu lil-mu'mini kal-bunyan yashuddu ba'duhu ba'da. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the believers to one another are like a building. Each part of it enforces the other. We need each other. We need each other as a community. And by the way, when I say listen to the voices, I'm saying listen to all the voices. Even those that are yelling about the people on the lower deck, we need to listen to them too. Because we're only as strong as a community as our weakest member, as each and every single person of this ummah. How do we actually move forward? First and foremost, you have to broaden this idea of progress as a community, that we cannot eliminate parts of the community and say, well, alhamdulillah, the masjid is still full. Alhamdulillah, our classes are still full. Alhamdulillah, there are enough people. I mean, we're running out of parking. There are enough people that are coming to the masjid. It doesn't matter if a whole bunch of them don't want to come. Alhamdulillah, one kid is saved, the other one is not. And this is actually something that I'll end with, because I think what Allah and the Messenger ﷺ call us to is to always take these things very personally, to actually see each other as brothers and sisters thicker than blood with iman. Thicker than blood with iman. If you have three kids and two of them are going on a destructive path, you lose sleep over that. You don't say, well, alhamdulillah, one of them turned out okay. It hurts you. It still hurts you. You have four kids, two going astray, two of them staying put. You don't say, well, alhamdulillah, I got these two. Forget about those two. You know, don't let the door hit you on the way out. We don't do that. We still lose sleep. We still try. We still do our best. That's how we're called to act as a community. To still try. To still call people forward. To still have, if the Prophet ﷺ's heart could still accept Abu Lahab and Abu Jahl, our hearts can still accept even the most destructive members of our community if we really care enough about their hidayah, and the entire community benefits as a result when we start to move in that cohesive direction. And it starts with listening to each other. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put in our hearts and our minds and our ears the ability to do so. Allahumma ameen. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfiru lakum wa li sa'il muslimin fastaghfiru innahu al-ghafur rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين والعاقبة للمتقين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا واعف عنا ولا تعذبنا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكوننا من الخاسرين اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم اغفر لوالدينا رب ارحمهما كما ربونا صغارا ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما اللهم انصر اخواننا المستضعفين في مشارق الارض ومغاربها اللهم اهلك الظالمين بالظالمين واخرجنا واخواننا من بينهم سالمين عباد الله ان الله يامر بالعدل والاحسان وايتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزد لكم ولذكر الله اكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون واقم الصلاه